For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are so excited to have Ben here with us again.
Again. I'll be here for a little bit.
You will. You're not I'm going sticking around.
Ben Serple.
Ben Serple.
Yes. The other side. Look at you, blue and pink. Good job.
Uh-huh. I know. Well, you know.
Yes, pink and blue.
I did have blue on the other day, but I'm glad I have pink on because I don't want to be all blue with the boys.
Ben's the boy.
I'll be the guy.
He's the girl. This is what we're doing here. It's a gender reveal we're doing right
now. No gender reveals. Weird.
Anyone was confused.
Please don't spread that rumor. Oh, There's no babies coming.
There was no reveal going on.
No. But we are talking about culture in your marriage. It's a wild thing to think about. What is the culture of your marriage? We've been talking about culture of your family and stuff like that, but there is a real culture in your marriage and it influences your family culture so much.
I mean the phrase that I've heard for so many years that's in our notes as well is the culture happens from the top down and movements from the bottom up. And so If the leader's not paying attention to the culture they want and what they're practicing, it's gonna have a direct impact on those below them.
Mm-hmm. Which we have a funny story about.
Funny now.
They're usually funny now, right? But Allie said you start with a story that maybe displays how
the culture of your marriage.
Yeah, the culture of your marriage was impacting the culture of your family, whether you were aware of it or not.
And really giving permission.
It's an old story, though.
It's an old story.
But it's all
but
you,
it's stuck
baby.
In my head.
Let me I was thinking about this.
Go ahead.
When I read that as well, and I thought, okay, this is back in the day when Lainey was little and you guys were little. And
what are we now?
She looks at our photos and go, Mom, it looks like you're the same age as me. I said, well, I was close. The
pretty
same
close,
age
pretty
as
close.
You
guys are little. And you had a baby. And here, you know, here comes your normals, right? Your family training normal cultures are you know, crashing together like two streams coming together to make a river. There's white water for a while. Yes. You guys are in that white water right there.
With a baby.
And the baby's in the middle, you know, and we're all watching like, don't drop the baby. Don't drop the baby.
Don't forget the baby.
Yeah. And Delaney is aggressive. Yep. And she is strong-willed and she's opinionated.
She's two.
And she's like her mom.
I was going to let you say that.
Yeah, I did. And Ben is so nice and gentle and kind and patient and enduring and long-suffering
and
all the fruits of the Spirit. And this girl eats it like candy. Yeah. She's going to eat you.
All the fruit.
She's going to eat you. So everybody's watching this child eat you, and we're like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? And so this has been in that moment, and I just wanted to frame it.
Yeah.
Okay, Ben.
I'm sorry. I'm recovering. Because you said, everyone's watching this child eat you. I know what you mean, and it's true. I was felt like I was getting consumed. But you have a way with words, Danny.
Again,
you should do this for a living. Yeah. So here we are. You're now in the moment where I'm being eaten alive by my 2-year-old child.
In the white water.
In the white water. Blaming my wife. No, that's not true.
Probably.
But the memory that sticks out is actually at your house. And, you know, I mean, just for context, I am now learning to parent this child at Danny and Sherry Silk's house. So that's always exciting. Hey, let me fail in front of you. That'd be great.
People that do
which,
parenting.
You know, and I had a mild fear of failure and rejection, so that consumed my life as well. So just, again, more context. Here you are. And this child is just ruling me, and she's calling the shots. And to bring this back to marriage for a minute, I was still learning how to set a limit with Brittany. Mm-hmm. I was still learning how to set clear boundaries and clear lines of what's acceptable. You know, what does respect look like for mm-hmm. us? And, you know, she wasn't disrespectful all the time. But often. When it did happen, I wasn't doing a very good job of protecting that part of our culture. Mm-hmm. I just kind of let it wash over me. So our child is watching this, our two-year-old. So she figures out that this is what works.
All the women in this house seem to treat dad this way might yep. as well.
You know, and so I've got these new tools that I'm trying out called Fun-A-Room or Do You Need Some Hassle Time? She was little, so it was Fun-A-Room. Mostly Fun-A-Room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the main one at this point in her life. And so I would say, can we fun or go in your room? And I am on the inside shaking. Like, she doesn't believe me.
Please pick fun. Please pick fun.
I don't believe me. So, you know, she challenges it at every turn. I pick her up because she chooses a way into me doing it for her, mm-hmm. put her in the bedroom, and she comes storming back out, yelling and screaming. And all
no.
of a sudden.
I just remember her yeah. yelling, no.
I just feel consumed. And, like, I'm just not going to win this. And to fast forward, I think, a little bit, it was probably not too much longer after that I started the process. I didn't get very good at it for a while. But I think once I started to figure out how to tell you no mm-hmm. in love and have a boundary and set a healthy limit, it's at that moment I realized, oh, she needs the same thing from me. But it had to start here.
It's so fun.
and this really, you know, goes back to your journey in discovering that you need something.
Absolutely.
You know, and as soon as you had some value around what you needed, yes. you could start actually showing up in places where it wasn't getting met.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so it went from marriage culture yep. into family culture.
Yep. Yeah. Which I think has become part of our culture. Like even our kids are willing to set limits at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But when we look back at the journey, if that continued and I wasn't willing to adjust that,
oh,
and keep that thing alive.
You'd be really miserable.
I wouldn't be sitting here.
We would all be miserable, but it would be. Yeah, I mean, there was a moment where I can think of you telling me, "I'd love to talk to you," and your voice sounds like mine. We were driving, and I had a thought: I'm going to jump out of this car. Don't you dare talk to me like that. You said it again, and you know it's one of those moments where. It's the first one, so it feels really memorable. Mm-hmm.
And left a mark.
What
I got a scar.
What did you just say? You know, you had to repeat it a couple times, and it wasn't the only time. But it's the I'm going to require something from you, and it translated to Delaney. I remember once you won the battle with her in you know Funner Room. Yeah, you were winning the battle with me as well. You gained some confidence to it.
Yeah.
And it definitely, it very much our marriage was this exchange of what is the level of disrespect that we're going to permit in our marriage. And there was a lot of disrespect. And we talk about how there's different levels of disrespect or different
expressions
of it. Mm-hmm. And mine was yeah. very loud. Yep. And very
mine was
obvious.
Very avoidant mm-hmm. and quiet.
And, yeah. And so it still was something we were both participating in, it just looked different. But that was such a loud component of our early years of marriage. It was really hard to have any form of a partnership yeah. and any form of a culture that we were doing together. So it felt like we were raising a family separate almost yeah. in the same house in a lot of ways because there was how you raised her and how I raised her and it wasn't how we raised her yeah. or we had more kids. But that was very obvious because that's how our marriage was. It yep. was just this separated component of our life, even though we were doing
it together. And all the stuff that still had to be worked out, Addie picked up.
Absolutely.
And here she goes.
And then we got to Lincoln, and the girls were like, okay, we figured it out.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's some truth and help for you. But I just to your point real quick, Danny, about me actually learning how to have a need early on, mm-hmm. I think there's something to say about gaining value for myself. Mm-hmm. Because I think this conversation about culture and things flowing down from the top, it comes from a place of wanting to grow mm-hmm. and being hungry to grow. And it's really hard to have that stay alive if I don't have value for myself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And maintaining a healthy hunger for growth is really hard to do. So that's when I look back down the history of Ben's life, down the hallway of my life, I think that's one of the things that that had to get worked out is the value for me.
And when we look at how you expressed a low value for yourself and your needs, it was really, you know, being more passive and avoidant, and that would be my style as well. Yeah. But equally,
that's good. Yeah.
Being overly aggressive and dominant and punishing and intimidating to get your needs met is another expression of the same problem, which is I feel insecure and I don't think people will respond to my needs if I just ask for them. So I won't be vulnerable. Yeah. I'll just take control of the whole situation. And then the passive-aggressive communicator is going after a manipulative, intimidating, anxiety-producing way of punishing people for not reading their minds. And, you know, like, okay, well, if you had a heart, you would have picked up on the fact that I needed something right there. But because you heartless thing, that's another expression of the same problem, which is I don't value me enough to show up. Mm-hmm. So part of your family culture ends up being an agreement that everyone shows up with, you matter, and so do I.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And we communicate in such a way that respect is immense. Like, the most important thing we can do when we're really hurt and upset is lock on to our own self-control over being respectful, expressing our needs.
Yeah. And I can think of so many times now, because our levels of disrespect, you know, we don't really have tolerance for that anymore. It's very minimal, and if it comes out, it's pretty much addressed by somebody in the house. You know, it's not just you and I. And that's the crazy part, is you and I will have an exchange in the car, you know, where I get scared, and then, you know, your response to my scared, and if there's a tinge of disrespect in there, it's usually the kids in the back seat that are saying something, which is annoying. Absolutely, because it's like instant. Nobody's having any
fun. We have an audience.
Totally. We have an audience that feels powerful enough to say something.
Oh, this is a participating audience.
Yes. Yeah. And so now, whenever that happens, or any exchange, and I think that's the part that translates, is, you know, we've created a culture in our marriage and then put that on display and then empowered our kids to even hold us accountable to if we start to be no fun.
Yep.
They get permission to communicate.
I will say this again, because this is really important. This is critical, because this is how you have one culture and not two cultures.
Yeah.
When parents can do whatever they want to each other or to the kids, and there's no accountability, there's two cultures, because the kids will be held accountable to the culture that we tell all our friends we have.
Yeah. And it's awful. It's really painful for the kids to have this
super
exchange.
Confusing.
And that's, you know, so I love that we've done that well. Yeah. I would say that we have probably three kiddos that are a little bit more passive than the aggressive. Every now and then there's a spike. Someone hits a spike of a little bit more of an aggressive style. But it is this exchange of value that we've given to them to have.
And this is lots of work environments. I mean, people want to work in an environment where they get to be a participant, but we're so trained in, I just do what you say, regardless of what you do, because you're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not the environment that I want in my family.
Yeah.
It's not the experience I want my children to have. Is you don't get to tell me the truth. You get to share the experience you're having. Because if I'm hurting you, I'm unaware of it, I don't want that in my culture.
Well, the fun part is when we say we're all Christians and that, you know, we want to have the presence of the Holy Spirit and, you know, love like Christ, but the children don't get to, you know, have any communication to the parents of, hey, you're not loving like Christ right now.
Yeah.
This shows up also with sibling relationships where there's lots of disrespect. That's one of my questions all the time is, you know, my kids are fighting. They're so disrespectful. They don't like each other. And I think of the moments where, you know, we were in a small hotel room, two beds and a couch for days recently. And, you know, we're in each other's space. Our stuff is on top of each other. We're trying to keep this as clean as we possibly can. But, you know, it's happening. You know, we got a 17-year-old and a preteen. Is this just
whose pizza boxes?
Yeah, whose stinky socks are these? Oh my gosh! Please go put some clean ones. Do you want me to wash those in the sink?
I mean, I just need the bathroom.
Yeah, totally. And as soon as there starts to be an essence of disrespect and tone and exchanges, Ben and I are really quick to jump and go, "Hey, what's going on?" Because we have no place for this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's often there's a lot of tolerance. We wait until it gets really big and then we address it because I'm tired of listening to it. But we are pretty quick on, no, that's not who we are. Mm-hmm. And same thing goes with the kids with us. And it's something we've all decided to protect. I don't know that I would say we sat down and said, okay, now anytime that mommy and daddy are not fun to each other, you get to say something. We've never had that conversation. It's just been modeled and it's been protected and there's been permission for them to have a voice and be powerful in it.
It's true.
And somehow you create a receptacle, you know, a safe place for them to show up as powerful and not call it disrespect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you addressing me as as Jafar. You, how dare you talk to Jafar? You know, and that's some parents like, I can't believe how disrespectful you are, like holding me accountable. Like that somehow you remove that and your kids can talk to you, not be disrespectful, but literally participate in the family culture that's policing itself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you guys ever go off the rails, one of your kids is there to say 15-yard penalty for roughing the parent. And you adjust. You're like, okay, that's right. There are rules to our family game, and we all play by the rules.
That's right.
This is why, you know, paying attention to your marriage culture is so much more a key ingredient to, you know, if you're trying to make a chocolate cake and you forgot the chocolate, it wouldn't be a chocolate cake.
Mm. Yeah, it'd still be a cake, though.
It'd still be a cake, which that's the display. You still have a culture, but it wasn't what you wanted to make. Mm. So
missed it by the chocolate.
You told it. Mm-hmm. You missed the mark. And I, you know, Ben and I really have seen the fruit in our family and other families we get to work with of, you know, what you say you want better be thriving in your marriage first.
Better be able to slice it up and serve it.
Exactly. Because if you don't have this, you know, value for the Lord as a pillar in your marriage, it's not going to be a pillar in your family. Yeah. If you don't have a value for connection in your marriage, it's not going to be a value for connection in your family. And if you have, you know, disrespect or, you know, maybe you're consumed. Like I'm always impressed with how often we sit at the dinner table and eat a meal. And it wasn't something that we scheduled. It's just something that naturally happened because we love to connect and see each other at
Rose
the table.
And Thorn.
Yeah. And it just naturally became a great space to protect and see our connection. You know, and I think Ben and I do a really good job of that same expression, but it's not at the dinner table. It's, we're going to go get coffee because we're both going to the office. Okay, let's meet. We treat that exchange in the car as a shared value space of, you know, almost dating on a date. You know, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. But it's not I'm on my phone, he's on the phone, or we're just doing our own separate thing. We choose to have these moments where we're leaning in to protect space. And I think the that expression, you know, what's your connection level or how what level are you at? We often say like 1 to 10. If we're ever probably below a 5, it's a question for us. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. I feel slightly disconnected because we live pretty consistently at a 7 or 8. So a 5 feels costly. And that's shown up in our kids. But even when we're at a 5, the rest of the house is at a 5. Mm-hmm. That's the funny part.
This is like paying attention to your gas gauge.
Yeah.
Because being broke down on the side of the road, you know, like that is totally avoidable.
I told to Lainey the other day, there should never be a reason why you run out of gas on the side of the road. Zero reason.
Totally.
Unless it's broken. The gauge is broken.
Unless you just needed a hard lesson. You know.
That never happened to me.
Yeah. We don't even bring it up.
And she just did.
I forgot. I did forget that. It's never happened to me.
Done with Lucky Daddy.
So one of the things about your marriage culture that you're talking about is the ability to give and receive feedback.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that happen in our lives that prevent that. All these insecurities are built into our identity, into our emotional maturity. There's just so many things that we have to face as people to create a place where feedback, where truthing is an option. I love the truth. I want the truth. Hit me with your best shot in love.
Yeah.
You know, speak the truth to one another in love. Stop lying to each other. Ephesians 4 says, stop lying. Speak the truth in love is a invitation into maturity, because it is one of the scariest things in the world.
Yeah.
And I think our family of origin stuff prepares us to be ill-equipped or to be equipped to deal with truth. Mm-hmm. But the truth exchanged in your marriage relationship is what sets you free. It's what sets your children free. What you were just describing in the car, where one of your kids or all of your kids can say, foul, that is freedom. Mm-hmm. That's freedom for powerful children to learn to expect, this is how healthy relationships behave. There is a welcome mat for feedback in healthy relationships. And there is a trap door for relationships that are unhealthy. And nobody wants to step on it. Nobody wants to stand on that spot because, chunk, oh, yeah. Where'd they go? I don't know. We don't know where they went.
Siberia.
They just disappeared. Yeah. They left our life, or you left being powerful, or you left favor, or you left something, and nobody wants to pay that price in unhealthy, dysfunctional homes or environments.
Yeah.
You know, I two different thoughts I'm having as you two are being yourselves so wonderfully.
Dominating the microphones. Is that what you just said?
No. Not at all. What did you hear me say?
Are you giving us feedback right now?
No, I was trying to say you're doing a great job. You should keep going. Keep up with the Kylo Show. The two things are, the first one is, you know, we got to do a family culture coaching experience with a bunch of the families from our kids' school. And some did the group coaching, and then a number of families did the personal coaching with us. Mm-hmm. And 100% of the time,
100%.
When we begin talking about family culture, the main thing we're talking about is the marriage culture.
And the one-on-ones, the people that we're actually getting down to. So what brought you here?
Yeah. Which is just, it should be telling a little bit. Like, even if we try to talk about the family culture, we end up talking about the marriage culture because it's really what's setting the tone in your home.
Well, it feels like it's what's blocking them from accomplishing what's in their heart for their family. And it's usually what they brought from their family cultures, which is their normals that are clashing, and we cannot figure out how to, you know, have a common goal and a common enemy. That's one thing we talk about, is it stop making each other the enemy and look at something else as we're going after this together. That's where we're going to put all this intensity towards. So being able to, wade through, my mom did this, my dad did that, I'm insecure because of this upbringing. Okay, that's all very real, and that's, you got to deal with that. But until you do, what you're bringing together is just, it's going to be a war. Yep. Unless you decide, okay, we're going to take the best, and we're going to start actually putting words to what we want in our marriage and watch it show up in our family. Yep. And it takes fighting for.
It does.
It takes protecting. It's exhausting sometimes. Sometimes it's definitely exhausting because it's work. It's not easy. And I think most things that are create fruit in your life took effort.
And that's really my second point I was thinking about is to Danny's point about insecurity and these personal wounds and just things that we hold on to often too mm-hmm. tightly. Mm-hmm. I think when I discovered that that's just a different form of pride, that it's really just pride that I'm not willing to work on this, because mm-hmm. it's humility that opens the door to actually begin to work through that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's my experience and my language. But I think when I realized I'm just being prideful.
You mean a quiet, kind, gentle person could be arrogant and proud and locked down?
Well, you said it differently, but yes.
Exactly. I say it from personal experience.
Exactly. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, that's when I discovered that, I was like, wow, I am my pride is staying in the way of the thing we say we want. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it happens still to this day. Just the other day, it happened again. But I had the opportunity to humble myself, which really brings the grace that I want. Mm-hmm. That's what it says in the Word, that grace comes when we humble ourselves. So mm-hmm. I think it's just a reminder and even the encouragement for anyone that's similar to me or similar to Brittany is the opportunity to humble ourselves. Is what begins to change the story mm-hmm. to get out of the insecurity, because we all have them. We all have the insecurities yep. and the pain, and so.
And I love what you said about a common goal and a common enemy, mm-hmm. and don't make each other mm-hmm. the enemy. Mm-hmm. And the common goal is connection, mm-hmm. and the common enemy is disconnection. Mm-hmm. And if we can lock onto that and say, you know, the greatest threat to our success is disconnection. No. That elevates when the enemy comes in, the Lord raises up a standard against him. And that standard is our goal, which mm-hmm. is connection. So as long as we will perceive things as the worst problem in the world is we get under a five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we can pick that up. We have just changed the quality of our legacy.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about marriage culture and what we're fighting for. And I think to give some practical little steps is, you know, if you don't know what it is that you want to protect in your marriage, maybe it's a great time to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, where is your common goals and your common enemy? And can you have this conversation to change what your culture has been or what you've been prioritizing? And I think that's worth that fight and that exchange. And it's probably not just one conversation. It's probably a series of conversations. And if you need help, you know, that's why we're here. We want to help you. But I think that, you know, that's what we're building at and doing. And we're at this, our school retreat with our kids, and there's just 300 parents in this room who, you know, I believe want to do a really great job. They want to do a really great job with their families, and they're all different walks of life, all different situations, all different types of people in there, but they're trying to set a new standard for their mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to be a part of, yeah. and it's fun to be, you know, running alongside of them. And I also love it because I feel like all these people are learning who we are, and you guys are all our regulars. You're part of our community. You know us well here, but if you're not a partner and a donor with us on this mission, then I would invite you to do that and help us just kind of continue rallying around families that are fighting for health in their marriage so it creates a culture in their family that they want. So, again, if you haven't become a donor and you're interested, I would encourage you to check out lovingonpurpose.com to do that. It's a great place.
And we're getting clearer and clearer
yeah.
about our mission.
That's the fun part, is we are yeah, getting so are much getting, clearer.
And we're starting to realize, oh, my gosh, you know, for us to grow into the influence and the impact that we are going to make, mm-hmm. we need strong partners.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we need investors. We need people that are going to take on this message and make disciples mm-hmm. as well. But we really need partnerships and yeah. donors.
And just at that point, I think the picture that I carry around in my head when I think about partners is it feels like there's people behind us pushing us in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saying, keep going. Like there's something that takes place when someone attaches themselves to us like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's also an exchange of grace. The grace on our ministry becomes yours when you partner mm-hmm. with us at this level.
Yeah. Mm, absolutely.
And it's a movement. I think that's what we're stepping into is a movement of loving on purpose. And with that,
it's awesome.
Takes boldness and courage. And so we're just asking for that from you.
Totally.
But we're going to jump into questions, so we'll be back in just a minute. All right, well, we're going to jump into our questions. If you're interested in submitting a question, please go to SpeakPipe. Or no, not SpeakPipe. That's what you're going to do. You're going to go to thekylashow.com, and there is something called SpeakPipe, and you get to record your question. So if you would like to, we love questions and testimony. Thekylashow.com, that's where you want to go.
Yep. Testimonies too.
Yes, both of them are great.
Love them, love them.
Mm-hmm. All right, today's question comes to us from Courtney.
Hi, Brittany and Danny. Thank you so much for your show. My name is Courtney. I am new to San Diego, just relocated with my daughter from Atlanta. Super long story short, I am getting remarried to a wonderful man out here in San Diego, and also have a lot of family out here. And just a lot of transition going on and struggling and wanting some insight on really making room for another person in my life when it's just been me and my daughter. My daughter's been my whole world. How to make room. And there's like this little battle within me of almost feeling excited, but then also like a little frustrated, or I don't know if bitter is the right word. It's like some weird emotions popping up of not knowing exactly how to make room or how to be a wife. There's just a lot going on. So wanted to get your insight. I'm sure it's normal, but I would love some direction on, you know, some things that I can do to love well and to make room and to do it with a kind and loving and receiving heart. So any insight would be awesome. Thank you.
Super great question. Mm-hmm. Very vulnerable and very aware. So congratulations, Courtney. This is job one for you. If you're going to get married and you have, you've created a soul tie with your daughter, which mm-hmm. is beautiful, awesome. Mm-hmm. It's got to be, soul ties get a bad rap. Yeah, I've got to break this soul tie, break that soul tie. No, you don't. Don't break the good ones. Okay? Yeah. Foster the good ones, break the stinky ones. But a soul tie with your daughter is as a child, as someone you're responsible for. The slot that needs to stay open is someone that you are going to join your intimacy with, your oneness with, because your daughter is going to go away someday. She's going to get married. She's mm-hmm. going to, you know, go on. This spouse place is reserved for one person, and that is for the one you become one with, the one that you're going to grow old with, the one that you are going to sacrifice even more than you already have with your daughter. So she's got to be in her right spot for that other spot to open up. If she's in that spot, the spot that's open is the child spot. Mm. And that new husband is going to be someone you feel responsible for and someone who is subordinate to your relationship with your daughter.
Yikes.
Just like it was a marriage. This would be the number one reason why second marriages fail when there are children involved is because the person or people with the children don't move them out to the appropriate realm where they can be children in a relationship with an adult, and then that opens up the opportunity for that marriage to congeal into oneness.
I think about, as a mother, that role that she's been playing for a long time, most likely, which is that I'm the protector of you, and then now I'm
totally responsible.
I'm bringing someone in that's going to be the protector of us, the protector of me, and my role has to change. And you know, I don't know your personality at all, Courtney, but for me, that would be a really hard thing.
It's super hard.
It'd be a really hard thing. And I, you know, the reality of giving yourself grace to the transition that's got to happen, but bringing people in to help hold you accountable, because that natural space to keep fighting to protect something that you've chosen to bring someone in to help protect. You know, you've got to really look at it as a partnership. But there's probably a form of mourning in I'm changing my life completely, but celebrating something that's being redeemed and welcomed. And so just, you know, you sound very aware, and that's beautiful and really helpful. And I would bring in, you know, how am I doing with this? What does it look like? And even probably be asking the guy you're marrying, how do you feel like this is going?
Oh, I was going to say, Bubba better know the job that's waiting for him is at least as well as I've done. You'll be stepping into that.
And clarity to that role.
No respect to Bubba. Who, I just don't have a name.
Clarity to that role, permission to that role, ability to give feedback. I mean, I've seen some of these second marriages go beautifully and some of them be really, really hard. And, you know, it does, it takes an investment and it takes a lot of trust and the willingness to prioritize that connection and, you know, do it as a community. And it sounds like you have family. So I think you're set up for success, and I would just be utilizing all those parts.
And I think just to just one thought to add here, based on today's content, is, you know, the culture does start from the top down. And Courtney, you sound like someone who's passionate about healthy culture and wants to do a good job, just based on just the way you asked that question. So I think just paying attention to, as we build this marriage culture, what's the family culture going to be that's flowing from it? Because if I'm not doing what Brittany and Danny are talking about, which is the putting my husband in the appropriate place and my daughter in the appropriate place, then that's going to begin to set a culture that's going to be hard to live in. And I'm not sure there's a timeline. Like, within a year, you should have the culture you want. It feels more like we are progressing. We are moving forward, and there is progress. So I think that's my encouragement to you, is just paying attention to what is the culture we want. It's conversations between you and your husband. And then we are actively participating in that same set of agreements we said we want. Yeah.
And this would be really smart to do up front.
Yep.
This would be like ASAP. Goals, common goal, common enemy.
Totally. Set
all that up now. Have these conversations now. If you haven't been through the defining the relationship material, that might be a really great
expedite that.
It might be a really great experience as well. Get some conversations going, because this transition for you is a major sacrifice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And to join your life to a husband, and for that to not be in harmony and agreement, you're really setting this up for some troubled waters.
Well, Courtney, we are praying for this union to be blessed, and really that you find those common enemies and common goals, and transition well, both you, your daughter, and Bubba.
Bubba?
No, it's not about your husband.
I'm sorry.
Whoever he is. Whoever this man that you've chosen to marry.
Good man.
Praying for you, and I'm sure it'll be a beautiful thing. You just keep staying aware, like it sounds like you already are doing.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah. Awesome. We're going to go ahead and jump into our testimony now, and we'll be back in a minute. All right. Well, our testimony today comes to us from Rusty.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. This is Rusty down here in South Louisiana. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and share a testimony. This testimony involves the Kylo principle of being a powerful person and goal of connection. So Aaron and I implemented goal of connection as part of our culture about 9 years ago after reading Keep Your Love On. We took it seriously. It became part of what we do. And I really think it's taken our marriage to a whole other level. But there's always growth areas, right? And I realized there was a growth area regarding me and my goal of connection towards my wife about a year ago. It wasn't really pretty to look at. but it was something that I really needed to pay attention to so I could grow and I could show up better for my wife. So here's the reality. I was making my goal connection, but my love, if I was being honest, to a large extent, was transactional. And in other words, I was expecting a response in return. And if I didn't get that response, I wasn't really okay. I wasn't at peace. I didn't have joy, the things that I really should be getting from the Lord. So what I was really doing in reality was using my wife to try to feel a certain way and putting her in the God spot. And that was not fun to look at, but it's been very empowering to get that revelation and make adjustments. So now I'm getting my capital N needs met from the Lord, really growing in that. I've been going through a time of personal coaching to help me to do a better job of that so I can show up with the best version of me in my marriage. And I'm not showing up in a way that I'm using my wife to try to feel a certain way. Because let's be honest, that's not unconditional love. That's conditional love. So I want to bring the Father's heart in my marriage. I want heaven to come down in my marriage. And so I'm so thankful for you, Danny, and Brittany, the whole team, and these principles that y'all have taught us. And we continue to grow in, as you can see. And it's exciting for me because I really believe that, you know, this new revelation I've gotten and the adjustments that I'm making is going to help our marriage go to a whole other level. So thank y'all.
Well, we're loading up on the plumes.
We are. Yes. So again, good. They just keep finding ways. Okay, how can I get better? They are hungry people.
Yeah.
And super fun to work with hungry people. Mm-hmm. It makes a world of difference. If you come whiny, it's not so fun to work with you. Come hungry. Oh, man, let's do this.
And hungry really is that willingness to learn mm-hmm. and then adjust.
Yeah.
Like that, it's a twofold manifestation. That
and hungry people, you see the fruit in their life.
Yeah. But the... I hear something that shows me that I'm in error, mm-hmm. and then I have to like find a way to kind of adjust without being too obvious about it or getting caught being in error. Everybody, no, you just go, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I am totally blowing it. I'll be doing this going forward.
Yep.
That's a powerful point. And the Plunes have done a great job of staying hungry and growing themselves. And so nothing but expect that this will increase their marriage in another level like they're hoping to.
Yeah. And family happen. Culture is the fruit of leadership. Mm-hmm. So this is legacy.
Yeah. It's great. Such good stuff. Well, that's a good way to end our show today is, you know, Rusty chasing after how do I keep doing the Kylo 5 and growing and creating fruit in my marriage because I want a thriving culture for my family. So that's beautiful.
So good.
Awesome.
Keep it up.
Yep. Well, whole healthy families are going to save the world, and that's the mission we're on. So thanks for joining us here on The Kylo Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.